Well, once more, let's take our Bibles and turn to Exodus in chapter 20. Exodus in chapter 20. And we'll be reading verse 12 as our text today. Although, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to turn then to Proverbs chapter 3. For the main portion of our sermon today. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, this is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Amen. Well, the fifth commandment is the gateway to the second table of God's moral law. When grace enters a person's heart, when God the Holy Spirit regenerates someone, gives them a new nature, new desires, new affections, a new mind able to understand the truth, when this takes place in someone's life, immediately that individual will begin to love their neighbor. And they will ask the question, how may I love my neighbor? How may I express love to others? And if they want to walk the path of obedience, if they want to walk the path of love for one's neighbor, then they have to enter at the fifth commandment. They have to enter in that path at the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. It begins in the home, as we saw last week. Love to our neighbor begins early, the fifth commandment teaches us. And last week we saw that the fifth commandment is, in a sense, the high ground for life's battles. It is the high ground. The battle must be fought and won here. We must maintain this position. And we saw last week, by looking at several examples in the scripture, that if this commandment is swept aside, if the high ground of the fifth commandment is lost, then the war may very well be lost. All of the other commandments then are trampled upon if the fifth commandment is ignored. Now this morning, we're not going to look again at the relationship of the fifth commandment with the other commands of the second table, but instead we're going to become more specific and ask the question, what does the fifth commandment specifically reveal to us about the home? What does the fifth commandment reveal to us about God's design and order for the family? Oftentimes when someone wants to decorate their home or if they want to refurbish their home, they will do so around a central theme. And we might ask them, well, what look are you going for? What look are you going for? What's the great central theme of your home? Some people want to center their home around hospitality. And that's the very first thing that a visitor would notice in that person's home. They say, well, your home is very welcoming. It's very comfortable. It's very inviting. Others want to center their home around the theme of their garden. And so as soon as you walk in, you're expected to say, my, what a lovely garden you have. It's so beautiful. And they proudly take you out and show you all of their beautiful plants and their flowers. Well, God has a look for the family. God has a design for the family. God desires that when someone sees your family, he sees something. What is the beautiful look? What is the beautiful design that God has for our family? And the fifth commandment teaches us that the design that God has for every family is that parents rule the home and children submit. Parents rule the home and children submit. That's beautiful in the sight of God. That's what He wants people to notice about our families, that this is a family where the parents rule gently, kindly, caringly, but they do rule. And children submit cheerfully and willingly, but they do submit. That is the design and order that the fifth commandment reveals. It says, honor your father and your mother. That is, it's speaking directly to the children. And it tells the children right from the start that your parents are to rule the home. You are to give honor and respect to the parents. We read earlier in Ephesians chapter 6 where Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Speaking there to young children who are still at home. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And what is the reason for it? Well, he says, for this is right. This is beautiful. This is good. This is the way God has designed it to be. This is the way God has ordered the family. It is a God-given design. Now, last week, we already began to look at this subject of parents ruling the home. And we saw that parents have a great duty and a responsibility to their children to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But this week, we want to turn now to Proverbs chapter 3, and we want to become more specific with how exactly a parent ought to train their children. How ought parents, biblically, to train their children? And so we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3 this morning as just one text. There are many texts, but this is one text where we find several key elements of training our children. And we find here in Proverbs chapter 3 that parents must lay the foundation stones on which their children build their life. You cannot build your child's life for them, nor should you. Your child must learn to build their own life as unto the Lord. Parents can't build their children's lives for them, but parents must lay the foundation stones for their children so that their children have something on which to build. Children are not expected to create something out of nothing. The scriptures teach that parents must lay these foundation stones for their children and give them fixed points that ought not to be moved. The Bible says that we are not to move an ancient boundary stone. We are not to move an ancient landmark. And parents are to set up ancient landmarks for their children. They are to set up fixed points that may not be moved without great harm to the child. And here in Proverbs chapter 3, we find four foundation stones, four pillars upon which children must learn to build their lives. Parents are expected to teach their children these four basic truths so that children may build a life that is pleasing to the Lord and receive all of the blessing that God has designed for them to receive, so that children may lead a happy life, a blessed life under the Lord. Now, the first foundation stone, the first cornerstone that must be set up is in verse 3. And that is that we must teach our children to use the best materials. Use the best possible materials to build your life. And we must teach them what those best materials are. And we find in verse 3, he says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, if you're reading from the New King James Version, it uses the words, let not mercy and truth, instead of steadfast love and faithfulness. Mercy and truth. But what is being referred to here is being in covenant relationship with God. The child must build their life on God's love and God's faithfulness. Nothing else will hold their life together except the mercy of God and His faithfulness to His own word. We must teach our children that they must be in a covenant relationship personally, not through us as their parents, but personally with God Himself. They must experience and know what it is to be loved with steadfast love and faithfulness. The words here that are used, steadfast love or mercy, that word there that is used, is God's special covenant love for his people. It is the love whereby he has said to his people, I am yours and you are mine. I will be their God and they shall be my people. That is the theme of steadfast love in the Old Testament. God initiating, taking a people to himself and saying, you don't deserve my affection. You don't deserve my love, but I am setting my love on you. And I will never take it away from you. I will never remove it from you. I am for you. I am not against you. I will be for you. That is the idea that is to be conveyed here. And we find in the Old Testament and in the New that this idea of steadfast love, this idea of mercy, we use the term mercy to show that it is undeserved. We use the term steadfast to show that it is committed love from God. But this idea of steadfast love and mercy is always, always sealed with blood. Always sealed with lifeblood. Now in the Old Testament, perhaps you remember the strange story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, right before COVID-19 hit, we were going to finish Genesis 14, and the very next sermon was going to be from Genesis 15. We never got there. Lord willing, we'll eventually get to Genesis 15. But in Genesis 15, we have a very strange account of Abraham saying, Lord, I'm just struggling here. You've told me that I'm going to have a son, but I don't have one yet. I don't have what you've promised. How do I know? How can I be certain? And Abraham isn't filled with unbelief, but he's filled with genuine fears, genuine struggles. And so God says, I'll tell you how you can know. And we have this very strange account of Abram being told to take animals and cut them in half, and lay half of the animal on one side and half on the other side. And then we have a smoking cauldron that passes between the two halves of these dead animals. And that is to represent the fact God is telling Abram, if I break my word to you, I will be cut in half. That my very being is on the line. That if I were to break my word to you, I would cease to exist. That is how serious God takes his word. And he says to Abram, you can trust me. In order for me not to keep my word, I would have to cease to exist. That is how serious God takes his word and his steadfast love, his mercy toward his people. And when we come to the New Testament, we find something even more amazing. We find Jesus Christ himself, the God-man, dying on the cross and shedding his blood for his people. And saying, I will take the curse that was due you on myself. In order for God to keep his word to Abram, the reality is he did have to take the curse on himself. And he did. In the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this pillar that parents are to teach their children is the pillar that God Almighty keeps his word. And God Almighty is faithful to his promises. And God has proved it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the first and most important foundation stone which the parent must explain to the child. You can use no other building materials than this. This is the best building material. It is the best because it will never fail. It will always hold together. Satan will assault you, the parent tells the child. Satan will attack you. He will accuse you. But the steadfast love of the Lord will never fail. Your own sin sometimes, child, son, or daughter, will overwhelm you. You will feel your guilt rising against you, and you will be carried off, as it were, by feelings of guilt. But son, daughter, don't forget the steadfast love of the Lord and his faithfulness. Even your sin cannot break that bond. Even your guilt cannot wash away the mercy of Almighty God. It is the best possible building material because it is free. Now, some of us have done home repairs, and you know that you always have to make a decision between what costs the most but looks the best. Somehow what looks the best always seems to cost the most. And you have to make that decision. Well, what am I going to buy? How much money do I have to spend on this? I want my home to look very nice, but I only have this much in the budget. And parents are to tell the child, you don't have to make that choice because the best building materials are free. The mercy of God is free in Jesus Christ. You can afford it because you don't have to pay for it. Christ's blood has secured to you the mercy of God. Christ's blood has secured to you the faithfulness of God. There is no excuse for not using this building material. If a child refuses the steadfast love of God, if a child refuses to commit to the faithfulness of Almighty God, it is their own fault. It is their own stubbornness. It is freely offered to everyone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Solomon is saying here. Look at the last part of verse 3. He says to the son and the daughter, write them, that is, write this committed covenant relationship on the tablet of your heart. And this was the great problem in the old covenant. This was the great problem that many, many, many people were Jews by ethnicity. Many boys and girls grew up as pure Jews. They were descended directly from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But their heart was far from God. And so another covenant had to be made, which we find in Jeremiah 31, is the new covenant. And the wonderful promise of the new covenant is that God will write His laws on the hearts of every member of that covenant. And so what Solomon is saying to his child here in this verse is, don't think that just because you're a Jew, you are automatically in covenant with God. Don't think that just because you have Jewish parents, the steadfast love and faithfulness of God are yours. And the same message is true for children today, this morning. Do not think that just because your parent is a Christian, that you may enjoy the steadfast love and faithfulness of God. You personally must have these things written on the tablet of your heart. Well, that's the very first foundation stone which parents are expected to teach to their children. And there's another foundation stone. This is in verses 5 and 7. And that is that we must teach our children to reject the bad materials. Not only to use the best materials, but to reject the worst materials. There are bad materials that can be used. There are cheap materials. Perhaps some of you have, again, done repairs on your home, and you're disgusted to find that the builder told you they were going to use one material. But when you actually start chipping away at the paint, or when you actually look behind the wall, you find that they used inferior material that's now falling apart. And Solomon here says that parents need to train their children to reject materials that will not hold, that will not last. What is a material that will not last? Well, in verse 5 and verse 7, we are told that children must learn to distance themselves from their natural inclinations. Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Children must be taught to distrust their own natural inclinations. Do not enter into this life thinking that if you just follow your heart, thinking that if you just follow your natural desires, that things will turn out well. Solomon says they will not turn out well. You have a deceitful heart. You have a darkened mind. The passions that are in your soul will lead you astray. What are some of these passions to which children rely on for self-guidance? Well, one passion that comes in at the point of decision, when a child is growing up and they are having to make a decision about their life, one passion that comes in is self-protection. How can I protect myself? How can I look out for myself? How can I make sure that no matter what happens in this circumstance, self comes out doing well? No matter if I have to trample on anyone else, how can I guard self? Self-protection is something which we must teach our children to turn away from. Another passion is self-gratification. How can I please myself? How can I do what I find to be most pleasing, most exciting, most enjoyable? That is a certain path of destruction. Our children must be taught, lean not on your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes. We find also in verse 7 that children are not only to turn away from their own inclinations, but they are to turn away from evil. They are to turn away from sin, to turn away from rebellion against God. Their life is to be characterized, we are to teach them, by repentance, by repentance. That when we fall into sin by temptation, we must turn away from that sin. We must repent and follow after the Lord. Now, how can a child learn to examine their motives? How does a child learn to know the difference between their own inclination, their own understanding, and the Lord? How does a child learn to distinguish what is a piece of cheap material that will not last? Well, of course, it is the moral law, the Ten Commandments which God has given us. And so we are to train our children in the law of God so that they are able to distinguish right from wrong. Well, there is a third foundation stone that we find in verse 9. Solomon tells us in verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. And the third foundation stone that children must build their lives on is that they must build always facing the Lord. They must build by making the Lord the great priority. Now, here in Perth, it's interesting because we live right by the ocean, and so when you see somebody whose home is by the Swan River or their home is by the ocean, of course it faces the ocean. And they have huge windows so that they're able to look out and enjoy the view. You don't see a house on the river turned facing the other way. You don't see a house right on the coast facing inland. It looks out onto a beautiful sunset or to a beautiful view. And Solomon here is telling parents that we must train our children to keep their face always turned to the Lord. In every circumstance, they are to make the Lord a priority. When he says here in verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, he is only saying what Jesus Christ taught in the New Testament, that the first petition of the Lord's Prayer is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is to be the great goal of each individual in this world. Solomon is only preceding what Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, where he said, do not worry, do not be filled with anxiety, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We must teach our children that the highest priority in their life is to honor the Lord first. First. If anyone's going to suffer, it won't be the Lord. If anyone's going to lose out on this decision, it won't be the Lord. If anyone is going to have to give up their time, it's not going to be the Lord. He's going to get his time. If anybody's going to have to be tired and lose energy, it's going to be given to the Lord. I'll lose it, but the Lord gets it. That ought to be the great attitude that we train our children to have. When you have wealth, when you have time, when you have energy, it is the Lord's. It is the Lord's. If our children have any gift, any talent, it comes from the Lord. If they are blessed with any wealth, it is from the Lord. And we must train our children, you are not to live in this world as a consumer. This world is not here so that you can just get everything possible for yourself. This world is here so that you may learn to be a steward of what God has given to you. You are here for His glory first, not yourself. And that priority must be taught to our children so that every major decision point in their life, they have been told, now it is up to them whether they listen or reject it, but they have been told by us as their parents, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. His day comes first. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. His kingdom comes first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Your prayers must first be for the Lord's honor, first for the Lord's kingdom, first for the Lord's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Solomon here as a parent is only teaching exactly what Jesus teaches every single one of His disciples. And we must teach our children that it is the Lord that has the greatest priority. One of the ancient boundary stones that was set up by God in the Old Testament and still holds true today is what the prophet told Eli, those who honor me, I also will honor. But those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. And our children need to know that God has set up that foundation stone in this world. And if they refuse to honor the Lord, then He will refuse to acknowledge them. This is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no better way to prove this statement than simply to ask, what characterized Christ's life? And the answer is, the will of His Heavenly Father. And what was His reward? All of heaven and earth. All of heaven and earth. If you as a child will honor the Lord first, you also will receive heaven and earth as your inheritance with Christ. He is willing to share that with you. He is willing to give you His honor and His blessing. And we must train our children that it is not all about grabbing all that we can here in this world. It is about laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven, where thieves do not break in and steal, and where moth and rust do not destroy. Well, that's the third foundation stone, and the fourth is found in verses 11 and 12. The fourth foundation stone, which we must teach our children, is that they must expect repairs. They must expect repairs. They must expect that the Lord will discipline them. Any homeowner knows that from time to time, you must repair your house. What was the most modern and up-to-date product 20 years ago is now out of date and falling apart. The kitchen that looked sleek and modern 20 years ago looks dated nowadays. The decorations that were so brilliant and top of the line, best of the market 20 years ago, now they don't look so good anymore. And we need to teach our children that when they build their life, they must expect God to discipline them their entire life. There seems to be this idea that we can reach a certain point, we can reach a certain plateau in our life where we have arrived. And Solomon says, you have never arrived. Children seem to think that once they hit 18, once they hit 21, that they're going to arrive. I remember a woman telling me once, she said, I thought that when I turned 30 years old, I was going to have all the answers to life. Because when she was younger, 30 just seemed so old and wise. And then she said, I got to 30 and I realized I still have lots of questions and I don't know what I'm doing. We never arrive. We must always be under the discipline of the Lord. Now, we need to be very careful about what we mean by always under the discipline of the Lord. Because typically we read this and we say, well, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. The Lord reproves those whom He loves And we think to ourselves, well, what that means is that if I sin, I'll be disciplined. If I stray, I know God will discipline me. And I know if I do something wrong, then something bad's going to happen in my life. And then I'll just know that that's God disciplining me, and I'll feel bad about it, and I'll know that God is, he's not happy with me because I sort of strayed off the path. Well, it is true that sometimes the Lord does providentially discipline his children. Not every time we experience a trial in our life is it a discipline in that way from the Lord. But when we read in the scriptures about discipline, the way in which we are disciplined biblically is by the word of God. That's what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He says that all scripture is breathed out by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. You, as a child of God, are always being disciplined, not necessarily providentially, but through the word of God. Every time the word of God comes to you, it is telling you again, don't be wise in your own eyes. Every time the word of God comes to you, it is saying, obey the law of God, put your faith in Jesus Christ, every time. And we need to teach our children that if they are going to follow Christ as his disciple, they can expect a lifetime of discipline. A lifetime of the word of God coming into contact with our passions and desires and cutting them off and saying, not that way, not that way, not that way, this way, this way, this way. And that happens to us all the time. Now, of course, no child likes discipline. And the sad reality is that many parents don't like discipline either. And so they stop reading the scriptures. That's what this is talking about. My son, don't despise the Lord's discipline. We think, but I want something more. The Bible's good, but I need something extra. Don't despise the Lord's discipline. He has chosen to speak to you through his word. Don't be weary of his reproof. This is what happens. People suddenly just, they get tired and they stop coming to church because they just don't want to hear God's word come into their life again, again, again. I'm just tired of changing my life all the time to fit God's pattern. That's what Solomon's talking about. Don't be weary of his reproof. When we come to worship on the Lord's Day, it ought to be a joyful time. But it's also quite a difficult time, because God's word cuts across how we think by nature. And we are told every single Sunday, if the pastor faithfully does his job from God's word, that we must change, that we must change, that we must change. And we get very tired of that. We don't want to be told to change all the time. We want to show up on Sunday and have the pastor stand up and say, well, we've all made it. Congratulations, everybody, we made it. I think we're okay. Let's just go home and just everybody hold steady until the Lord comes again. But the scriptures come to us again and say, you need to change. And that can be very wearying. And so we need to train our children in that foundation stone. Well, as we apply these things to ourselves as parents, let us say that there is one great application that we can make. And that great application is this: that if you are a parent here today, you have been given a very, very high calling. A very high calling. The high calling of fatherhood. The high calling of motherhood. There are few roles on earth that are more valuable and more honorable than the role of father and mother, the role of father and mother, and perhaps grandfather and grandmother as well. It is an incredible privilege to be given the opportunity to speak to a soul that will never die and to train them to listen to their Creator. Can you think of a higher position? Is there something else that should claim your time? Is there something more important than speaking to your son or your daughter regularly about the Lord? Consistently about the Lord? Comprehensively about the Lord? Speaking to them about how these foundation stones play out practically in daily life. It is hard to find a more honorable position than the position of wrestling with a child who will one day stand in judgment before their Creator and give an account for everything they have done in the body. What an incredible privilege. It is worth your time. It is worth your effort. You might be the smartest person. Your IQ might be very, very high. It will require all of your wisdom, all of your skill to raise even one child. You can think about it and think about it, and you'll still have a great deal to learn. It will require all of your ability. The wisest person needs a great deal of help in raising even one child. And it needs to be said that this high position of fatherhood or motherhood cannot be fulfilled unless you yourself have tasted the love of God and built your life on these foundation stones as well. You cannot speak to your child about the joys of the mercy of God in Christ Jesus if you are a stranger to it yourself. If you do not know and regularly meditate on the love of God as He has expressed it at the cross of Calvary, then you cannot teach your child to build their life on that foundation stone. If you yourself are still using inferior, cheap materials to build your life, if you are still relying on your wisdom and you are governed by your passions, you cannot train your child to build their life on the foundation stone which God has set up. And so as parents, the best thing that we can do for our children is to spend time with the Lord. To spend time with the Lord. To guard our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. To make sure that we are loving Him. To make sure that we are experiencing His delight in us. I hope that you see the big picture. And I hope that you train your children to see the big picture. That this world is not all there is. That there is an eternal weight of glory that far exceeds anything that we can enjoy in this world. I hope you're not so narrow-minded. To think that your child is successful if they have a big paycheck. I hope you're not so narrow-minded to think that as long as your child doesn't do some horrible, wicked thing to bring shame and dishonor on you, that you've been successful as a parent. I hope that you realize that there is an eternal glory that is set aside for those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the older you get as a parent or as a grandparent, then the more you have to be able to come to your child and you can say to them, I didn't set up my life according to these foundation stones. I never had a dad or a mom teach me this kind of stuff. I didn't realize that this was important until I was 40 or 50 or 60. I'd like to repent to you and ask your forgiveness. And I'd like to tell you that the Lord has been teaching me that I've set up my life incorrectly. And I don't want you to fall into the dangers and the snares into which I've fallen because I never knew these things and because I had a wicked heart. That is a powerful testimony to a child, to humble yourself before them, to say, I have made mistakes. I haven't set up these stones as I ought. Would you forgive me? And together, would we try to set up these stones in our lives? Because God promises that if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we lean not on our own understanding, and in all our ways we acknowledge Him, He's promised He'll make straight our paths. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the love of God for our souls, and we pray that if we are parents here today, we would set up these foundation stones in the lives of our children. And we pray that if we have grown up in a home where we have not understood these things, we thank You for teaching them to us now, and we pray that we would seek to do all we can to be an influence on others with the grace that You have given to us at this time. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.